Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Howard Tolman is with us. He joins us every Tuesday at this time. And I liked your article on Inc.com today, Howard, about post-employment years. So is there a choice when it comes to the word retirement or post-employment? Tell me the difference.
You know, I think that retirement has a worse connotation. I mean, people think that you just signed out. And, you know, as I said in the article, God forbid on a loan application you put retired. That's like a big red flag saying, oh, by the way, we won't lend you a penny. And this is even if it's your own bank where you've been like a million years as a good client and customer. I mean, if you don't have, you know, current employment numbers, it's very difficult to borrow. Very difficult. And frankly, you know, I also said, please don't start a startup with your severance money or your 401k, because that's the second least likely group to be financed is a startup, because you don't have any assets. You know, it's not like you can pledge the family farm and get money for the crop from next year.
Right.
So it's these are complicated times, and I think people are very nervous, in fact, sort of embarrassed to say when somebody says, what are you doing next? Or, you know, what are you doing these days? And I sort of think they should be proud and say, you know, I'm retired for now. I'm thinking about what to do next. But that's not like a, you know, a scarlet letter. That's like, okay, well, you pulled it off. You know, you worked for 40 or 50 years and you had a great life and now you're entitled to take it easy. People don't get that. You know, people, I don't know whether they're personally threatened by the fact that you're out there, you know, on the golf course or whatever, or whether they think that everybody, you know, needs to be diligent. You know, this is really interesting because we, you know, we have a business in Japan now, and Japan used to be insane with worker, you know, men.
Oh, right. Forcing them to retire, right?
Sorry?
Did they force them to retire in Japan? Is that it?
They had to kick them out of the office and like turn the lights off. I mean, they were such, you know, crazy people. Now it's gone completely the other way. Now it's very hard to fire anybody. And the workforce has all of a sudden made this entire shift to sort of work-life balance. So, you know, we're going into a tough time. I read today, you know, an interesting article that because gas is increasing so much that the whole gig economy is in peril. You know, the delivery, the Ubers, everybody, you know, they're just not used to paying $100 to fill up their gas tank.
Right.
And, you know, that's where we're rapidly approaching. So
I had to fill up three times last week at $82 a gas tank. And
I know.
Three times. I mean, really, that does take a chunk out of your budget.
I know. Yeah, not to mention that it's putting a little more life into EVs, although, you know, Trump has done a fine job of making that industry nowhere near as successful as it could be.
But so, Howard, I've got a question for you. Look, I don't think you're ever going to see post-employment years. I mean, you just talked about a new business venture in Japan. I don't ever see you retiring, and I think there's a lot of people like that now.
Well, I think that if you can do something productive, and by the way, I think it's a great thing to do is to work for nonprofits and work for any kind of thing that isn't about current income. It's about job satisfaction. And then I think that's exactly right. I just talked to Steve Cochran this morning, and, you know, I mean, age is just this, you know, sort of arbitrary thing. The truth is, do you have the energy? Do you enjoy what you're doing? And are you doing something worthwhile? And then I think, you know, you don't quit. I mean, we're in stealth mode now for a couple of new businesses. But I talked to Chris Harris. I don't know if you know him from Bright Star Church, one of the big successful churches on the South Side this morning. He's got a couple of new ideas. You know, we're helping him with the technology. You know, it's exciting, and it's a reason to get up in the morning, you know, not to mention my rotten dogs that get up at 5:15 in the morning.
We're talking about those kind of dogs.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
But one of the things in your article that I liked, it said, don't try and teach anyone younger than 35 anything.
For absolutely sure. I mean, and as I said, the kids in high school don't care. The kids in college are completely indifferent or lazy. And the MBAs are the worst of all. They think they already know everything. So I think the only thing you can do is, you know, executive education. At least those are people coming back who have some work experience, and they understand that, frankly, sales and people are just as important as any technology or mathematics, you know, in terms of long-term success.
Am I just getting older, or was I the person that looked at people who were 50, 60, 70, 80 and thought, don't try and tell me anything? I don't feel like I was that person. I feel like there's this generational divide, like every other divide in this country, that has just widened.
Well, you know, we spent about 10 years educating several generations to this idea that being an entrepreneur is the best thing in the world and that you can roll your own. And we completely have, you know, avoided the fact that, you know, before you roll your own, you should find a role model and you should learn your craft and learn what you're doing. And I think that that we always grew up that way, that there were people who could always teach us stuff. And frankly, right now, I think the kids are of the view that anybody, you know, over a certain age is so behind in the technology and so behind in sort of what's relevant these days that they're not worth listening to. And it's
right.
That's very sad, because those are the people that, frankly, have the wisdom. And, you know, Scott Galloway, who's a friend, says that the singly most important skill of all is storytelling. And I don't think these kids can tell stories or sell themselves or be convincing because, frankly, they have no one-to-one face-to-face experience. You know, they're all sitting at a, you know, at a typewriter or at a keyboard, and, you know, interacting with people is not even a skill set of theirs. And that's really what the most successful part of everything is.
There was a, I don't know, research, survey, something out from Northwestern Mutual that said the average American needs $1.4 million to retire comfortably.
Yeah.
There's too many factors to apply that number to everyone, isn't there?
I think that, first of all, I think that's too light a number when, you know, when interest rates are virtually non-existent. You know, I run a very large endowment fund, and in the old days, you could rely on laddering CDs with a pretty good interest rate, and that would help you grow your, you know, your principal. These days, you know, you have to pray that you make equity investments that appreciate, because bonds and things like that, CDs, I mean, they pay next to nothing.
Right. Yeah. It's getting tougher and tougher to even think about retirement. I think most people just think, I want to change careers and do something that fulfills me or brings me joy every day without having to adhere to a hard schedule.
That's absolutely true. And frankly, that's probably where we're headed for a lot of reasons. I mean, that was the benefit of COVID. I mean, it taught us that, you know, a couple of hours of commuting, and I know you have a long commute, but a couple of hours of commuting every day was a tremendous waste of time and productivity. And I think that the whole work from home, you know, revolution is really about people saying, you know what, I'm changing the balance between being away from my home 10 hours a day. I've discovered that being at home with all the honey-do lists and everything else and all the interruptions is still a chance to be with my family, to be, you know, in an environment that I can be in control of my time, and I can also be as productive or more productive. And I think Microsoft has done a lot of research on this, and they've concluded that most diligent and honest people are just as productive or more productive working from home. The opposite side of that is one of our companies has, you know, uses Equifax, which checks to see how many of your employees have second and third jobs. And that's a very serious problem for the gig workers.
Oh, I bet. Thank you so much for joining us, Howard.
Thanks, Lise. Take care.